This is Will's Band of the Week for April 30th, 2017. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, live in studio.
Hello.
Kind of back to the basics this week.
Yeah, kind of, although we're doing a special episode. So.
Right, so that's not the basics.
Yeah, but we don't have any special guests. It's just kind of down to the two of us.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got a lot going on in our minds. There's a big basketball game.
Right. Milwaukee Bucks. Probably their last game of the season is how it's looking right now.
Especially a half hour ago, it was certainly looking like the season was going to end tonight. But
yep,
I'm kind of scratching and clawing back into this thing.
They're down by 10 with 7.5 minutes left. I don't know. It's going to take a flurry to be able to win this one. Yeah.
And then you've got the NFL draft going on.
Right. And I was thinking that the Packers should probably take the best player available, don't you think?
I'd agree, but it's got with one caveat. It's got to be the best football player.
That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
You watch those shows and like John Gruden,
mm-hmm.
his analysis is always like, this guy can jump and run and bench press and do all this. I don't care about any of that. I want a guy that's a football player. This guy is just a football player.
That's right.
He says that about everybody.
Yeah.
He may not be the fastest, but I want guys on my team who are football players.
Right. Right. You want a guy who wants to have the ball in his hands, right?
Yeah, you definitely want that.
Yep. You also, of course, you want somebody who plays physical football.
Physical football and someone that has a high ceiling.
Yeah.
You know.
True. How about a football IQ?
You definitely
it's good
want
to have that
football
right?
IQ, right?
A lot of factors at play here. You can see why it's so difficult to decide who to pick. What if you got one guy who plays physical football and another guy who's just a football player?
Well, that's a tough one.
Or what if one guy's got a higher ceiling, but he's not really a football player yet?
Yeah, that's I guess that's what they get paid for, these big general managers, and they make the decisions in they call it in the war room.
Right.
You know, every time there's a war, like an actual war, everybody on football broadcasts like, oh yeah, we wouldn't, this isn't like a war. We shouldn't use those terms.
Right.
But it's only two weeks later, then we're talking about bombs and blitzes and war rooms and battle of the trenches and stuff.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah, I saw one of the Badger coaches was being interviewed, and he's the new defensive coordinator. And he said, well, do you have any particular philosophy about playing defense? And he said that they're going to play aggressive.
Wow.
That's pretty good, right?
That's good.
I mean,
that's because they've been very passive.
Can you imagine what the
offense wants to do and then figure out how much you want to allow them to do that.
Right.
And then maybe try to talk them out of it. But I think aggression is better.
I know. I think just playing the passive defense is just like, it's never been proven to work too well.
No, it's too, the word. Everything you need to know about it is in the word passive, not what you want. Aggressive.
So even though this guy's new, he's starting to catch on to the key concepts.
I guess.
That's good to know. Yeah. Well.
Hopefully they'll have, maybe they employ a bend but don't break philosophy.
The bend don't break philosophy. You can let them get up to like the 20-yard line as long as you stop them then. Right?
Does anybody actually use that strategy? If you're going to do that, why not just like not break when they've got the ball on their own 20? Why let them get down to your 20?
You're right.
Before you're like, all right, that's enough of
they
that.
They should just not break. They should just not break right away.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no bending.
The bending doesn't serve any purpose.
No.
That gives you a little rest, I guess. But you could do that on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Rest. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Are you going to give us a live report? I mean, you did see something.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We went and saw the Flaming Lips last Friday.
Yeah. And, so, yeah, we should do this then. Well, the Flaming Lips couldn't have been as exciting as that.
No,
music
not at
implies.
All. No. Yeah, maybe you can play a different one because I don't know how I can follow that up, but I'll try. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was the Flaming Lips last Friday, and it was kind of an unusual grouping of me, my wife, and my son. We very rarely, the three of us, go and see a show together.
Huh?
But that's what it was.
It was a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and it was at the Orpheum, which is on State Street. It's kind of like the main drag and here in Madison. And it's an old, you know, like an old movie theater turned into a concert place like a lot of them are these days. And so we had tickets up in the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like pretty decent seats up there. But as soon as we walked in, and was, you know, it was almost like 45 minutes after the door opened, there still weren't that many people on the floor. So Wilson's just like, let's just walk down there and see how close we can get. And we were probably, you know, maybe 8 deep over on like stage right side. And he just said, well, every time somebody moves, let's move up a little bit. And by about a quarter of the way into the show, we're like right exactly in front.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So you guys went right up in front.
Right up in front.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Did Wayne walk over you with his ball?
He didn't. That was kind of in the middle.
Hmm.
We were over on the side.
Because we did that. When my wife and I, he walked over us
yeah.
like 10 years ago. That was cool.
Pretty neat.
My wife was at this show, too. She apparently didn't connect up with you. But
we didn't see anybody we knew, which I was surprised about. But
she thought it was great. That was her review.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was, that's, well, that I'd give it the same 3-word review. It was great.
Pretty much, they know how to put on a show, right?
Yeah. You know, if you've seen them or even, you know, read about their shows or watched YouTube videos of the, it's kind of the same thing they always do with the, you know, the light show and the confetti cannons and the balloons and stuff like that. And, you know, I can see maybe some people going in with their arms crossed, like, what's that? I don't need that. That's all, you know, unnecessary. But you'd have to really be just a ridiculous cynic not to have an incredible time and to be blown away by the sound and the spectacle. And, you know, they played a ton of songs off the Soft Bulletin and Yoshimi. And I don't know what more an audience can ask than what they do. And, you know, maybe you think they're kind of doing the same thing over and over again and, you know, milking the audience with these crowd-pleasing antics and stuff, but, like, what else are you supposed to be doing? You know, what else are you on stage but to, you know, entertain the crowd? And they have their way, and it's not the way everybody does it, but they do that better than anybody I've ever seen.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Wish I could have seen it.
Yeah,
but,
it was really cool.
It's that weekend I go out of town every year.
And oh, right.
There have been so many great shows when I leave town around the second or third week of April. So, well, that's the way it goes.
How was the river-to-river relay?
It was great. It was good. Except there was a contrast. While you guys were watching the Flaming Lips, I was at the Walmart in Marion, Illinois. That's not really like a happy place to be. Although the thing is, like, it's the only time I ever go to a Walmart, because the evening before this relay, we just go there to get supplies, you know, for the next day. So it's become this tradition kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In this store, it's like the size of like 3 football fields, you know? like, I guess there's probably like 1,000 Walmarts like that.
Right.
But yeah.
I don't shop at Walmart, but I can kind of picture that big, huge warehousey sort of a feel.
Right. Yep. So, yep, we got our supplies. We, got through it. It was fun. We had it was kind of unique this year. They give us the earliest start time, and it's like a staggered start because they have about 240 teams of 8 people, and they're all going along these kind of narrow country roads, and so you can only fit so many teams on there, or otherwise the traffic would get terrible, right? There's all these vans that have to park, you know, where the exchange, they call them the exchange zone, where you, mm-hmm. Pass from one runner to the other. So we had the earliest start time, and there were a few teams faster than us, but they all had later start times. So we were the first team on the course for the whole thing. We were running behind the lead vehicle.
Yeah.
And that had never happened before. We've had it happen that we've been the first team for like half of it, but then somebody always passes us, you know, some right. super fast team of 25 or 30 year olds, you know, right. who starts later than us will catch us, you know, and pass us.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to lead. So we sort of pretended that we won the whole thing because yeah. we were the first team in. So yeah. it was fun. It was great.
Very cool.
Aging. We're, you know, it's kind of like being aging rockers, but we're aging runners.
Right. But, and then anybody, they're probably, I'm sure it's such a huge area. It's not like there's people all along the route, but anybody that yeah. did see you, you're like the first ones that they see. So they might
exactly. Yeah. These volunteers at these various points along the course are like just sitting there. It was kind of a cold day. Usually it's hot down there, but it was windy and kind of rainy and like 50 degrees. So they were kind of probably hoping to get some runners to start coming by because you don't want to just be standing around doing nothing
right
when it's that kind of weather. So yeah, totally good. People should do that. Get on a running relay team.
Awesome.
I'm pro doing that. Well, okay, we have got an exciting special. I'm kind of surprised that we never have really talked about The Cure, right?
Yeah.
We must have touched on them at some point in time.
Here and there. I know we haven't talked a whole lot about it.
Right. And probably if you asked me in 1986, you know, who my top 10 favorite bands were, they would absolutely be top 10, maybe top 5. You know, they were one of my favorite bands back then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think their music has worn pretty well, right? They haven't really put out anything in the last 15 or 20 years that really matches, you know, that era, I don't think. But I think their stuff generally has kind of stood the test of time, wouldn't you say?
Their old stuff, yeah. I really can't comment on, well, we can get into this as we go through the list, but, you know, there's a lot of them that I've never heard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I've probably at least listened once to all the albums that they've put out, but it's been hard to, you know, happens with a lot of bands, right?
Yeah.
It's been hard to, kind of crack that level of enthusiasm for the old stuff. But they have continued to play live, and I think I did mention this on the podcast a couple of years ago. They were playing at some music festival where they were streaming it, and I watched probably half of their set, and I was amazed at how good they sounded. Mm-hmm. Just really, really good. Just, he can still sing, you know, as unique as Robert Smith's voice is, he still kind of can sing the same.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, just really, really good, which made me think I really probably ought to go see him.
Yeah, I've never seen him.
I saw him like 30 years ago, mm-hmm. and they were really good, but I'd go see him again.
Yeah.
Well, we each picked a top 10. That tends, sometimes we do a top 5. Well, like if there are 3 of us, we would probably do a top 5.
Right. We have and time then, though to get through.
And
all
then
these,
yeah, so and not? I was going through and I'm like, I can't really limit it to 5. 10 is a better number, I think, for this. So, right. There's a little bit of overlap, so your number 10 is my number 4. So, we're going to skip that one. So, let's go with my number 10. This is an old one. It's from the album 3 Imaginary Boys. Is that their first album? It's like really old.
It is
old.
Their first one, yes.
Yeah. And so this sounds super raw and kind of cool. It's called 10:15 Saturday Night. Fifteen Saturday Night.
Yeah, that was on my short list too.
You know, it doesn't really sound like any of their other stuff, does it?
No, yeah, they.
I think it's really interesting that they have so many things that you know, such a variety of their sound, right? And we'll be getting into this, but it really runs the gamut from ridiculous gloom to ridiculous poppy.
Right.
Right, which I think is pretty fascinating. How many other bands have pulled that off?
Not many. And
yeah.
Well, we can continue talking about that, but I definitely agree with that. As a little scoring update,
the Bucks just took the Bucks lead. Game, yeah, they were behind like 25 or something.
I got into the car to come over here. It was like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And they were down by 18. And the crowd was going crazy because they had cut it from 25. And I'm like, give me a break.
And when you got here, no, it was 13 when you got here.
Yeah.
And now they're ahead.
I swear they've scored like the last 30 points.
Looks like they're outscoring Toronto 19-4 in the fourth quarter so far.
But it goes back into the third. They scored like the last 10 points in the third, too.
Yeah, but it's going to all fall apart, I think.
Probably, yeah.
All right.
But doesn't much matter. They're built for the future.
Yep. Okay, we're gonna go to your number 9. This is a fun one because you picked a few that there's one that you picked here that's so obscure I didn't even know it. But you picked some of the cool deep cuts because you're a cool indie rocker. So what's your number 9?
My number 9 is The Walk.
That was a single, wasn't it? I'm not even sure if that's on one of the regular albums, but I grabbed it from the Greatest Hits album. The Walk.
Your door.
Yeah, that's a good one. The Walk.
Mm-hmm. Number 9.
It kind of has an 80s sound, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, definitely.
But it's definitely also a, you know, it's unique, right? It's not really the gloom and doom, and it's not really the poppy either.
Right.
So a little more on the poppy side, I guess.
Yeah. It seemed to me most of the album tracks, like, in their, like, second, third, fourth albums in there, would be gloomier, and then they'd have a single off of each one that would be a little bit brighter.
Yeah, it would lighten the intensity a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, my number 9 is higher up on your list at number 4, so that means we're going to go to your number 8.
I'm glad you can figure out how to do this, because I'll probably at some point become completely confused.
Yeah. All right.
My number 4, or what am I saying?
Your number 8.
My number 8 is called Push.
That's from the Head on the Door album.
Right.
And that was kind of
heavy on that album.
That was a classic period for them, right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's their
the wheelhouse?
Best. Yeah.
Is it their wheelhouse?
Yeah. Others, you know, we can talk about the albums that other people like better, but that's the one for me.
That'd be the one that you'd pick.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Push. That's Push from the Head on the Door album.
That one takes a little while to get going.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to edit and just fade it in a little bit in the middle. That's a trend, right? Because they started to do that with a lot of their other songs, where there'd be like a really long intro.
Right.
And that's great that you picked that, because I really liked that album, but I haven't gone back and listened to that whole album in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure I bought that from Northern Lights Music on just off of Snelling and University in St. Paul, Minnesota. So there,
memory. There you go.
Yeah, that was a really cool record store.
Scoring update now. They're losing by 3. And you know what's sad is everybody listening, well, the very few who care, already know that we're going to be crushed.
Yeah.
They're just probably laughing at us.
It's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Now they're down by 5.
Darn. All right. But now my number 8 is your number 1. So we have to skip my number 8. So now we're going to go to your number 7. Now we're going to enter the gloom and doom phase, right?
All right. Yeah, now I've got The Hanging Garden from Pornography.
The Pornography album was, I think, pretty clearly their gloomiest album, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just totally gloomy.
Right.
And just kind of cool that somebody could make an album that gloomy, I think.
Yeah, sure.
So, see what the listeners think. The Hanging Garden.
Yeah, but you know, as gloomy as the rest of it is, and honestly, I didn't know that album super well until I went back and listened to it for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that song stands out as the cheeriest.
Right, yeah, it's like the catchy, gloomy song, kind mm-hmm. of.
Yeah.
Yep. It's pretty cool how bass-driven that is, right?
Yeah.
That's like a pretty cool bass thing. So, all right. Let's go to my number 7, and I'm going to go with a song from the Faith album. That's a pretty great album when you go back and listen to it. So it was really early in their career, 1981, and it's almost like they dabbled in the kind of poppy stuff, and then they kind of settled in this more gloomy state that they found comfortable for them, I guess.
Right.
And not quite as like not intense like the Pornography album, but kind of a cool, gloomy sound. So this is another one where it's got that kind of gloomy vibe to it and also like a really cool bass line. It's from the Faith album. It's called Other Voices.
Thank you.
Yep.
It's kind of an early Cure classic, I think.
Mm-hmm. The good one.
Yep. All right.
What are we up to?
Number six. Your number six. Yeah, this one's a classic, too.
Yeah, this easily could have been higher. The rest of these are, you know, I spent a little bit of time putting them into order, but done on a different day, this one might have moved up a few. It's called A Forest.
Forest.
Off of their 1980 album, 17 Seconds.
Yep. And in the U.S., that album and the one after it, Faith, they released as a combined double album called Happily Ever After. And my friend and roommate for a time, Bruce, he introduced me to The Cure. And he had the Happily Ever After double album.
Right.
And he's the same guy who introduced me to Joy Division. So I got to give him credit. So... Yeah.
How's he doing? Is he okay?
He's doing great. Yeah.
Okay. Whoa. Look what's going on now.
What? Did something good
happen?
They're
down by two now.
Yeah, they're just teasing us.
Okay. Yeah, so he's doing all right. He's like living the normal, happy life.
He survived the early Joy Division and Cure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, right? But that's pretty cool. I think he deserves a lot of cred for introducing me to these two bands. All right, where are we now? We're still in this 17 Seconds and Faith phase. So my number six is from the Faith album. Another kind of dirgy song that I really like called The Drowning Man.
Thank you.
It's The Drowning Man, one of my old favorites.
Mm-hmm. What's the latest year we've gotten so far? 82? Boy,
The Head on the Door album that we talked about, that was from 1985.
Okay, yeah. Well, all the way up to 85.
Yeah, that's only 32 years ago. Yep. Oh, it's official. The Bucks have lost.
Oh, my gosh.
It's too bad. Well. Oh, well. Okay. We'll get that out of our system.
They missed 9 free throws in the fourth quarter.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't do that.
No, that's like we were saying before. Well, first of all, the scoring more than the other team is what it's all about.
Yep.
And I really firmly believe that every time you shoot, you should try to get it into the basket.
Yeah. Hey, really, I mean, should.
Right?
But yeah. Absolutely. You just can't emphasize that enough.
No, you can't. And then when the other team is shooting, do your best to make them miss the basket.
They're going to have an entire offseason now to dedicate themselves to focusing on shot making.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they'll be pretty serious about it, and next year is going to be... They do have a pretty good young team, right?
They really do.
Their best players are pretty young, so...
Yeah, Giannis is like 21.
I
think he's
I thought he was 23.
No. Yeah, he's like 21, maybe even only 20. And Thon Maker.
He actually got some playing time today. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So, I'm sure all the listeners care a lot about the Milwaukee Bucks. So, thanks everybody for caring. while we await who the Packers pick in the draft, we're going to talk more about The Cure. Here, this Barrett, I never even heard of this song before. This is such a deep cut, it's ridiculous. It's Barrett's number 5.
Yeah, this one, it's called Plastic Passion. And, well, their first album they released was it Three Imaginary Boys? Is that what it was called?
Yeah. I think that's the first album, yeah.
Yeah. So their first album was Three Imaginary Boys. And Robert Smith apparently didn't really like it, didn't feel they had as much control over it as he wanted, probably because it didn't sound sad enough, didn't sound sad at all.
Right.
And they kind of re-jiggered it around and changed some songs and released it in the United States under a different name, Boys Don't Cry, which is the name of one of their big songs that kind of hit stateside. And I think this was on there. And right now, you can only get it on the Cure B-sides and rarities and stuff. So let's give it a listen.
Plastic Passion.
Got a great drum part and some nice little guitar work and stuff, and like a lot of their first album, it's just kind of straight up new wave, right?
Kinda, yeah. That definitely sounds like a lost track from the early period.
Yeah,
which apparently it is.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's cool.
That's the stuff that I really like. That Head on the Door, and some of the singles. Those are kind of in my wheelhouse, as we like to say.
All right. Let's see. My number five. Oh, we're going to go back to the pornography album. We haven't had quite enough Gloom and Doom. And the Gloom and Doom song you picked was a little bit too catchy, Gloom and Doom.
Gloomy enough, yeah.
Right. So I'm going to go just a little bit gloomier. My pick from the pornography album is called The Figurehead. You can see why that didn't make top 40 radio, right?
Right.
Not quite happy enough. Doesn't it always seem like, we should ask Craig his perspective on this, but it seems like there was gloomier stuff that could actually make the charts in the UK in the 80s than in the US. I mean...
Don't you remember? Yeah, you look at the UK charts and just slap your forehead like all these things that we like charting there, but...
Right.
It's a lot smaller market and maybe easier for things to take hold. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to know. All right.
All right.
We're up to number four.
Are you sure we haven't missed anything?
I don't think so.
Okay.
What if we get to the very end? What if we're done recording and there's like an important song that I forgot to play?
Well.
We'd have to do a whole supplemental podcast. We'd do like a 5-minute podcast to like make up for it.
Maybe. Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that.
That one we could sell.
We could put a podcast out anytime we want. We've got a feed, right? Anytime. We just feel like putting out a 5-minute podcast. The listeners would get it.
Right.
Be cool, right?
Yeah,
sometimes absolutely. We should just do it.
Do a one-minute podcast.
Yeah.
Run down the Packers' second-round draft choices in a podcast.
Yeah. Did you know that the Indianapolis Colts chose Malik Hooker with the 15th pick?
Whoa, I thought he was going to not go until like 18. So that was a real reach.
That was a little bit of a reach, yeah. Plus, he's from Ohio State. So,
oh, man.
Boy, I don't know. That's got to be questionable, right?
Yeah, that's another classic.
Don't you think those players from that rival school must be of bad character?
For sure.
Yeah, they got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if they weren't going in, then certainly by the time they got out,
right,
they'd become bad people.
Absolutely. Okay, we took a little break there to check the status of the NFL draft, but we're back now, fully committed, right?
Fully committed.
We do have a beer called a PC Pills from Founders Brewing.
Yeah,
they're from somewhere in Michigan.
Yeah, they're from Grand Rapids. They have a really nice setup there.
I've never been to Grand Rapids.
Yeah,
I hear good things about it.
Yeah,
it's not a
nice town.
It's not a big city, but it's...
No, it's like probably 130,000. That's more than that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Kind of a medium-sized Midwestern town.
Yeah. So they've got good beer and they're a decent place.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So All right, now we're kind of in the heart of the picks here. And before, earlier in the podcast, you were talking about the Head on the Door album being kind of your wheelhouse. And so here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Your number four pick, it was on my list too at number nine. It seemed like it could have been higher. You know, it is a little difficult. So, you know, what do you do if you really like a poppy Cure song and you like a gloomy Cure song? Like, which one are you going to rank higher?
Yeah,
it's kind of
exactly.
Arbitrary. Yeah. So this one's kind of in the middle. It's kind of, I guess, a little more of the poppier, right?
Yeah, I'd say. And to go back to the draft analogies and things, you might say that picking this one at number four might have been a reach. It was available at number nine when you picked it.
Yeah.
So I might get maybe a C for this pick, but I think this is one that a lot of people know, and it's called In Between Days. You know what? I think I knocked that one down because of popularity, which wasn't really fair of me. But when you listen to what's going on in that song,
uh-huh.
You've got the really fast acoustic
the strum
guitar
thing, right? Yep.
Playing the rhythm and the great guitar part and that unbelievable synth sound. And then it's just like thrilling the whole way through.
Yeah.
That is a good song.
Yeah. So you can move it down, but I think me having it number nine, I shouldn't have moved it up a little bit. So, Yeah.
I think I have it properly rated. I might even swap it with my number three.
Yeah.
But then I'd have to trade my number five and my number seven. And then, like, number...
And next year's number three.
Yeah, or number three, right?
I think we probably haven't commented enough about the whole sound and production aspect of The Cure. Because I think they do a great job of it on so many of their songs. Where the sound is just, it's just really cool. There are little nuances, and some of their songs are just so layered. There's so many things going on.
Yeah.
It's just great.
It is.
And I'll comment some more. I've got one in particular where I want to talk about the production. So, all right. My number four, we kind of reversed course here because my number four was your number 10. So we kind of had these similarly ranked overall.
Right.
But here's an album we haven't talked about yet at all. The Disintegration album in 1989. Now, I think this is kind of cool because you think back now, and that was a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
We're talking 28 years ago. That's crazy. Not that we're aging rockers or anything.
That's a long time
but
that ago.
That's just nuts, right?
That's a lifetime for a lot of our listeners.
Right. But here's the thing. In 1989... You know, this band had been around for like 10 years already.
Right.
So at the time, it kind of seemed like, oh, this is just,
that's,
you know,
their old stuff.
Yeah, but at the time, this is like, oh, this is a new album by a band that's been around forever, so it's not going to be as good as the old stuff, kind of thing, right? But right. You know, they, I think they really pulled it off, and this is one of their best albums, Disintegration. And the song that I picked at number four, you had at number 10, is called Pictures of You. And this is one of those with a kind of a long intro, so I'm going to fade it in kind of a little bit in a minute or so, I think. So here we go. Pictures of You.
So that's, we played one of the new ones.
Yeah.
You know, I have a confession to make, and that is that my fandom peaked in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me came out the next year.
Yeah.
And I heard, what was the big single off of that? First of all, the thing was a double album. So that's a bit of a barrier, a financial barrier.
Yep.
And then, what is the song on that? That I heard, and I'm like, nope, not interested. And I've never, to this day, well, I shouldn't say that. I listened to it last night, and I decided that I was correct in turning my back on it.
Yeah, so 1986, and you were done.
I was done.
So, yeah, but you, you know, you picked this song, so you must have, gone back and thought Disintegration was okay.
I went back, I heard, I didn't have it when it was new, but I can't remember why I was one time Googling, like, what are the saddest songs? Maybe it was when, it was longer ago than that Nick Cave album came out. At some point, I was just wondering what are the saddest songs around. And this was on that list. I was like, I don't think I know that one. And I listened to it. So
It's
for that reason.
Good. I'm glad you discovered it. Somehow you had to find it.
I think you only heard it like in, you know, 2014 or something.
Yeah.
When all I right. was 25 years old. Or
it's more. Never too late, Barrett, even for an aging rocker. It's never too late. All right, we're at your number three now. And you're going back to the really early stuff now. Back to Three Imaginary Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I remember this one.
Yeah, Fire in Cairo.
Place where I meet you.
So my bias for the early stuff really shining through there.
Yeah.
And I realized that confession I made about ignoring everything they've done for 30 years
yeah.
is might make somebody that's been a long-time fan chafe and maybe think I'm not even qualified to give my top 10. But hey, I'm the one that has been invited into the studio.
Right.
I'm the one holding the microphone. So,
I mean, you've paid maybe your somebody, dues.
I paid my dues.
Yep.
You know, as far as the measurables and things, I might be a little lacking, but I am just a podcaster.
Yeah. I mean, you can talk about the all the little things like...
Yeah. How fast can he talk?
Right. How smooth are you? How often do you have to be edited?
Right.
You know, that
exactly.
kind of thing. So, you know, who cares how you come out on those measurables?
It doesn't matter.
'Cause you're just a podcaster.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
you've listened to a lot. Well, maybe not much of the stuff that's come out after Disintegration.
Well, maybe like I said, little, I you
like
know
once through.
Yeah, I would give everything like a once through.
It's really kind of hard to argue against my
it kind of is.
Stance on this.
Yeah. Your list has actual credibility, I think. I got to give it to you. Yep. All right, we're up to my number 3. Okay, so The Cure, I'm going to sort of categorize this a little bit. I think they've got two kind of popular songs that are just the craziest, poppiest songs that they ever did. And so this is probably on the too poppy side for Barrett, but we'll find out what you have to say about this. But this one at my number 3, this might be the one you... No, that's not the one you're referring to. Might be the other one. Well, anyway, this is from the Wish album from 1992. Everybody probably knows this song. It's called Friday, I'm in Love.
Yep.
This song, there's one of the Wikipedia articles notes that after he wrote this song, Robert Smith thought that the melody had to have been stolen from something. And he was kind of paranoid because he's like, damn, I'm plagiarizing somebody.
Right.
And so he played it for a bunch of his friends and nobody could come up with what he was plagiarizing. Yeah. He was like, I guess it's my song.
Right.
So, and it is. It's so kind of blatantly.
It's incredibly catchy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I want to go back to the comment I made earlier. I think the production on this is so great. It's so thick. In its production, and there's so much stuff going on, and just the little sounds. Just listen to the details. If you're not inclined to, to go for the super poppy, just kind of listen to the details of the song. That's my assignment for the listeners.
Okay.
And for Barrett right
now.
I'll
do it.
Friday, I'm in Love.
Yeah, that's another one with a lot going on. You've got, you know, the fast rhythmic acoustic guitar, double track guitar lines, and incredibly catchy. you know.
Those little transitions between the verses, they're like two guitars, and they're mixed in stereo with one on the left and one on the right, and I don't know, there's just so many cool little things. And like, did you notice the backing vocals when he sings Friday I'm in Love? There's like two more Robert Smiths,
yeah,
an octave higher in the background, and mm-hmm. there's just so many cool things. I think the production should get like a major award for that.
I do like that song quite a bit.
It's again, it's almost like you're saying about the Flaming Lips, right? It's kind of hard to deny kind of the happiness of the song.
Right.
Right? You hear it and you're just like,
you know, to be a total crab ass, yeah, to be like, yeah, that's not for, I don't like to listen to that. That's not for me.
Yeah.
So that's a good one that I did have under consideration, and it just didn't quite.
Good. So it's not so poppy to bring out complete cynicism in Barrett.
No, it's like good. Really poppy music.
Yeah.
Hasn't that come across?
Sometimes you
talking
do.
To me?
Yeah. Sometimes I think that, I don't know.
Well,
I think sometimes I pick
can't
things
be,
that
the
are.
Production can't be, you know, treacly.
Yeah.
It can be, you know, but this certainly isn't.
Right.
It's just really catchy.
Yep. Okay. So you weren't going to just like start picking the popular stuff when you got toward the top. I mean, I said the top, and this is from the top album.
Whoa.
That was accidental.
Crazy.
But they had an album called The Top, and I remember getting this album too, probably also from Northern Lights Music.
Mm-hmm.
And now this one came out after Pornography, I think, right? So it was like, okay, we're going to lift the gloom. We're going to be not quite so gloomy, mm-hmm. but we're gonna maintain some of the gloominess. But it's kind of got a little bit of the odd playfulness of Robert Smith too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they started off again with the, you know, Three Imaginary Boys, with which, you know, Robert Smith kind of distanced himself from, then put out like, what was it, three fairly gloomy, some extremely gloomy.
Mm-hmm.
And then this kind of, I think, kind of transitions to Head on the Door.
Right.
And, yeah, so I picked a song called The Caterpillar, which very easily could have been number one. I just really like this song. Rhythmically, it's really cool. I don't know. Even the sound of it is reminiscent of a caterpillar somehow. Although, what does a caterpillar sound like?
They don't do rock and roll very often.
No.
So this is maybe what they
it's
would sound like.
Kind of like, well, just kind of insect-like sound to it.
Yeah.
Did you like that one?
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Yeah, remember that sometimes they went a little too far, like the love cats. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a little too far, the like cuteness.
Yeah, well,
it was okay, but and you didn't. I kind of felt like they were taking risks a little bit by actually being too cute. You know,
right? My introduction to The Cure came with well, the first thing I heard is a song that we'll be talking about in a couple minutes, but what I really, really am mostly familiar with is The Standing on the Beach, which is all of their singles for their first 10 years.
Right.
So probably about six of these songs were on that.
Yeah. They did a pretty good job in, you know, picking the good tracks for that, too.
They really did.
Yeah.
And they did another greatest hits in the early 90s called Galore, and that's the one with, like, the baby sitting eating the ice cream cone.
I had forgotten about that, but yeah.
I sampled through that. There were 10 songs I'd never heard. Isn't that
interesting?
Sad? Yeah.
That is sad.
Sad for me.
After we're done recording, I'm going to look that up because I can't remember what was on it. Obviously, the Standing on the Beach thing was probably better. So, all right, let's see. We're at my number two. All right, this is like the obvious pick. So I hate to be obvious. You've got the indie rock cred because you keep picking the deep cuts, you know? And I'm like, here's the biggest hit by The Cure I'm about to play, right? This is probably the biggest hit. Like, other bands have covered it.
The last one you played was equally big.
Yeah. These are the two, probably. So this is from the album, the Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me album that turned you off to The Cure. I just think it's a super catchy song. Really great pop song. And the solo, that would be traditionally a guitar solo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a single note piano solo. Single key piano solo.
Yeah, now, that's cool. Do that.
Yeah, so listen for that. This is Just Like Heaven. Yeah, you could play that.
Yeah, definitely.
So that makes it cool, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's the poppy Cure for you.
We're almost at the top, right?
Yeah.
You know what? I'd like if any listeners have disagreements or things that we omitted, maybe something that we played that they didn't like.
Yeah.
What should they do? They should probably just keep that themselves, right? Or
probably. I don't think you'd want to go on record as disagreeing with us, because then
if you dared,
yeah, you can engage us.
Put it on the
Facebook page. Put it on Twitter. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we got some fun Twitter banter going on now.
Yeah,
not a lot of it, but what there is fun.
I haven't looked at it for a while.
I've kind of been neglecting.
I've got like 3 pages going at like. I usually keep it on the coffee shop page, so I'll have to go over and look at that.
Yeah, you should. I've been kind of neglecting Facebook a little bit. We're on there. I mean, so keep using it, which is great. But we used to be better about, like, every week when there'd be a new podcast, we'd put a thing up there to remind people. So
right.
I should probably be doing that. But I guess I'm not. Maybe we need a $100,000 a year social media manager, you think?
That might be a...
Wait a minute.
I'll do it for that. I'll do it for half
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm sorry I misspoke. We need an intern, right?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because you could... Right. You just think of the valuable experience if you could put on your resume, social right. media for Will's Band of the Week. You'd be getting offers all over the world
you would
after
be.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what people want now.
Yeah.
Kids out of school that are, you know, into the new media, social media.
Right.
You yeah. know?
Is there such thing as a Snapchat page? Can we get one of those?
I don't know.
They don't have pages.
I don't think so. Yeah. don't know.
And we haven't really done Instagram because you have to have photos.
We started, didn't no. Yeah,
we did. Maybe there is a Will's Band of the Week Instagram, but it's like okay. there's not much on it.
Take a picture of that cool new microphone you've got.
Yeah, I should do that. It does look cool. Who cares how it sounds? It looks cool, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Number one. What is the best ever song by The Cure? Barrett. I think you said it's the first one you heard. So after that, it just all went downhill.
Yeah, I remember it really clearly. I was in my longtime friend. He was a friend in high school, roommate in college, and afterwards, and still a friend. I was at his next door neighbor's house, and there was this neighbor, Tina, and she had some friends that were like in a class a couple years older than we were. And they were a little bit cooler than we were, right? And
are they the ones who picked you up in the pickup truck and took you to the show?
No, those were strangers. That was a couple years later, and they were strangers.
Great memories.
But there was just like a, not really a party, just kind of people gathered. And I remember exactly where I was, and I heard this song, and I was like, just like, what? What is this? And found out what it was. And so I just have such a clear memory of, even, like, you know, exactly where I was in relation to the other people. So, this is, I think, another pretty popular one. Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah, that's definitely
a big one.
Great one. Yep.
Yep, I'm all out of songs. I guess we're done then.
You're done, yep. All done. Good night. Wait, I have one now.
Oh, wow.
You know, I kind of feel like you do that the order of some of this stuff is kind of arbitrary, right?
Yeah.
So like 2 months from now, maybe I would order them differently. Who knows?
Who knows?
But, you know, if we've got them on this list, then they must be good, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I went Radical Pick back to the Disintegration album from 1989 when they were already almost aging rockers, right? 10 years as a band or maybe a little more, right?
Yeah, I didn't know this until I looked it up, but they'd been together since 1976, which is kind of weird.
Yeah,
but they didn't do any recording at first, so.
Right, so like 10 years
Let's
from
10
the
years.
First album.
10 years, yeah.
But still, you know. That's mm-hmm. quite
long
a while,
time,
right?
Long time to be
so
there.
I think they really pulled it off with this Disintegration album. And I've always really liked this song that was... It's probably the hit, right? And probably the biggest song from the album is called Fascination Street. So I'm going to cut into this a little bit because it's another one of those with a big, long intro. So here we go. Yep, that's kind of the wall of sound cure.
Mm-hmm.
They just layer a whole bunch of stuff.
You know, I think if they had released this one before Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, that would have been better for me.
Yeah, they would have held you on
in
their audience for a while.
Do you like Kiss Me, Kiss Me?
Not that much.
I listened to it. It's terrible.
Like, starting with that album, that's when I started to like 4 songs off the album, but not the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I referenced a song from that album that I just hated. Now I got to find out which one it is. It's Why Can't I Be You? That song is ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That's like...
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
Yeah. I mean, compared to that, Love Cats is like Stairway to Heaven.
Sounded like this. Oh, wait, let's just leave it at that. I don't want to poison the thing.
That sucks.
So, it's,
but I guess, you know, I bet some listeners can talk about stuff that came out in the night all throughout the 90s and maybe even beyond and say, hey, you guys are not really giving this stuff a fair shake. And I'm willing to listen to individual songs, but not to the
Tell
albums.
Us if we missed anything. Yep. All right. I think we did them justice, though.
We did.
Yep.
What's an NFL draft update for these folks here?
I don't know. I don't think the Packers
some of them
have
this is
yet.
The only news they're going to get, right?
That's true.
Because they don't care enough to look it up.
Looks like Miami chose Charles Harris.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he's off the board now. No yep. Charles Harris available anymore.
Hey, the Broncos picked a guy. His first name is Garrett.
Yeah. I wish he's not quite Barrett.
I wish the Packers would have picked him, because then I'd introduce myself and they'd say, what was that again? It'd be like Barrett, kind of like Garrett, like Garrett Bowles. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
I need something like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. That's the cure. That is a summation of their career, a definitive summation. You need go nowhere else in order to get the authoritative statement or statements on the cure, right?
Yeah, I don't think you... I mean, you could go somewhere else, but the statements would be not authoritative. They'd just be statements. Anybody can make a statement.
Right. For example, if those NPR guys talked about the cure, no credibility whatsoever, right?
No.
Nah. I mean, they'd probably just like every song, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they like every song.
Try to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, every one of them is the best. So we'll just pick out, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but
yeah,
trust me, you don't want to know what they would think. I don't care.
I was listening to
opinion guys.
Recently, I was listening to one of the NPR podcasts, and they're playing some of the, you know, the new stuff. And they put this thing on, and it was like 4 minutes of like a single note, like a drone ambient thing, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm thinking, come on, you know? And then when it ends, they're like, oh, that's so great. Like, no, it's not. Of course, people probably listen to us too, and they're like, boy, big miss this week. Those bands were not good at all.
Maybe.
But they're nice enough not to tell us.
Well, they're smart enough to know that they're just not correct.
that's what it is, yeah. All right. Know. Well,
people are free to disagree, but just disagreeing doesn't make you right.
Yeah.
Actually, it makes you wrong.
It's got its limits. Yeah. Okay. But we still thank everybody for listening, even if you didn't like it. And anything else? Parting remarks, or are we going to sign off?
I don't have anything to say except, you know what? When I listen to podcasts sometimes, they'll tell people to go to iTunes and rate the podcast.
Yeah.
With one caveat, if you're going to do that. If you're going to give us anything less than 4 stars,
yeah,
then yeah,
no, it's got to be 5, doesn't it?
Yeah, you got to. Well,
or are there 4 or are there 5?
4. We would take a 4. Can you?
Yeah.
Can you delete ones that you don't like?
They could.
You can't. That's the problem.
I guess I could see somebody giving us 4 stars and then saying, you know, every once in a while they have that Chris guy on and it's just not quite up to standards.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, if you give us 5 stars, you're saying it couldn't possibly be better.
Right.
Like, if on this podcast we'd had Robert Smith and then we had a live concert, like, that wouldn't improve the rating. It's still the same. Still just 5.
Yeah.
So if people want to hold off a half a star, I kind of understand that. But
yeah. That's right. Because we're all about self-improvement.
Yeah.
We try to get better every week. Like, before we start recording every week, we have a very serious conversation about what can we do this week to make it just a little bit better than it was last week.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of nuance, a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you guys just don't know about.
Right. Yeah. It's like when you watch a football game, it's like, well, those guys only work 3 hours a week and 16.
Yeah.
But it's really a full-time job.
Well, yeah. Think how long it takes them to memorize all the jersey numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, right? They can't just say, caught by 83.
Right.
They can't say it. They got to say the guy's name. That takes a lot of preparation.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Same with us. We have to, you know.
Yeah.
Like, if we talk about a band, and if you don't know where every member is from and all of their names and what album is this and when was it recorded, we always know every one of those details off the top of our heads.
Yeah, we just don't use
them all. That's because sometimes we, like in false modesty, pretend we don't remember them.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
But
did I ever tell a story about the service department of the auto dealership
that
upset because they didn't give them tens?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the thing, like, auto body shops do this all the time. Like, you must give us a 10 on everything. And they want you to rate them, and they say, by the way, Anything right. less than a 10 is a failing grade.
Is that right? is that your Mazda?
Because
we take our Mazda over to, what is that? I don't know, Don Miller. Don Miller. Yeah, and they're the same they way.
This was
like
at
we go
the,
there like every freaking
yeah.
month and a half to get a new headlamp put in.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, call this number and fill out the survey. And by the way, if you give us anything less than 10,
yeah.
we'll, you know, we're going to get in trouble.
We'll get fired. Yeah. We'll lose our franchise.
Right.
So I took my car in, and then they sent me this, it was just like for an oil change or whatever, right? Just the standard maintenance kind of thing, right? And they sent me an email, and they said, please rate your dealership. It had this big, long list of things, and they're like, really nuanced, right? 1 to 10, or 0 to 10, or whatever, right? And it was like degrees of satisfaction, right? So a 5 was like satisfied. And then, like, a 7 was extremely satisfied, and an 8 was outstanding, and a 9 was whatever, right?
Right.
So you get to the 10, and you're just like, this is insane. This would be like, I was like, I'm just, like, emotional about it because it's, like, the greatest service I've ever gotten in my entire life, right?
Right.
So I, you know, I was like, yeah, but it was totally fine. And was, everything was, like, 7s and 8s, right?
Right.
And then, like, the next day, I get a call from the service manager. He's like, I'm just wondering what's wrong. What can you tell me? And he was really serious. And I'm like, nothing's wrong. Right. Everything was great. Well, you gave me a failing grade. And I said, well, I didn't mean to give you a failing grade. I thought I gave you pretty good grades. Oh, no, that's not what they think.
It's like, oh my God.
And it's like, and like the guy was like he was seriously stressed about that I'd given him like 7s and 8s. I'm like, okay. You know, I said to him, I just shouldn't fill these things out because I was too honest when I filled it out. So in the future, I won't fill these out anymore. But I don't want you to get in trouble with your employer. So, you know, do you need me to call them or whatever? And he said, oh, that would be really nice of you if you would do that. And so, like, I That's called the number.
Pathetic.
So I called the number on the like the customer service thing. And I said, okay, I just want you to know, like, this guy's getting into trouble, but I think he's great. He's fine. He's a really good service manager. I'm totally happy. And
right.
they gave me this way that I could like supplement the report and say that he's like a great service manager.
Right.
So then I did that, and then he calls me back and says, thank you so much. Like, it was like he was so stressed about it. It was terrible.
That's ridiculous.
I know. So like think about that the next time. Except for Will's Band of the Week, except for that, you
right.
do have to give us fives out of 5.
Well, we
stars.
Wouldn't have a way to contact. What if somebody gave us a 3? We couldn't call him.
That's true. It'd be a failing grade. Oh, my goodness.
Like,
I'm kind of scared now.
Give me an 8. Wow, that's like... Oh, okay, so you're saying my service was merely outstanding. Thanks
right.
a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
It was merely better than, like, you know, 80% of all service I've ever gotten in my life. But that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. That's pretty bad. All right. God, I think we chased away every potential listener now, right? They're just gone. Okay, thanks everybody.
Thanks.
Let's talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.